Well, it happened. I was asked to join a Rings of Power conversation with some Lord of the Rings geeks, and I said yes. October 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining three other podcast hosts to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Now, they all actually talk about Lord of the Rings all the time, and I don't. I'm considered the outsider of the group. I'm not nervous about it at all. I'm totally nervous about it, especially because I haven't even watched it yet. But don't tell them that. I can still watch it. There's still time. This live event will, again, start at 8 p.m. Eastern, and you have to register for the event, and part of the proceeds will be supporting charity. So that's pretty cool. You can register for the live event right now at ringspodcast.com/live. A link is in the description of the podcast today, and also you can find it on Discord in the Captain's Pod channel. I'll pin it to the top. So join Captain's Pod, me, John from Lorehounds, Marilyn from Rings and Rituals, and Aaron from Lore of the Rings, October 11th from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern at ringspodcast.com/live to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Okay, bye. We saw a penis. That's it.
We didn't.
Okay. We imagined one.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 16-8304.1. Welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave for the Lord of Cinema Sins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, she's back from emptying the fluid filters on the holodeck. It's Ambassador Danae.
Yummy.
They were over. You tell me you did not eat them or drink them.
Yeah.
Actually, they've been in there that long, it will be an eating situation. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Jell-O.
Yeah.
Or pudding. It was more pudding flavor. Yeah. More pudding consistency.
Yeah. Did it have that skin? We're going to stop. How are you doing, Ambassador? I don't want you to answer that.
I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I am outstanding. I have my Cinterprise hat on, and who knows, maybe one day everybody will get a Cinterprise hat if we can ever make merch.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know why I decided to start on a downer.
It's the best way to start a podcast. Just get it everyone really super uncomfortable. Last week we went super sexual. This week we're just going to go super sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the record, when I listened back to that edit, I sounded uncomfortable. I was not. This week's episode is called, I should know what this week's episode is called, Cupid's Errant Arrow. Now, last week was vaginas. This week has to be penises, right?
You're just like casually sipping your tea.
What does he want me to do?
One can hope.
Mm. It should have been Cupid's Errant Arrow first and then Moist Vessel. Cupid's Errant Arrow into a Moist Vessel. It should have been a two-parter.
I mean, thanks to this introduction, thanks to taking this back into like this area, I'm now thinking about the first time that I watched that show that's in the UK where you go on a dating reality TV show, but you're naked the whole time.
Oh, what's that? And it's not Naked and Afraid. It's...
No, they're very much not afraid. It's no, more like not afraid. Naked and Boldly Myself.
Naked Attraction. Naked Attraction. That's what it is. Which is a horrible premise, by the way.
But I have never just seen so much casual penis before.
Yeah.
It was great.
Was it all casual or was some of it on duty?
I have never seen an episode where there was an on-duty moment. Just,
we're going to have to ask you to leave.
But this podcast, what the fuck are we doing?
I don't know. Just give me a prediction.
Well, I guess I'm going to predict that, you know, accidental boner is going to be in this episode.
Accidental Boimler boner. Amazing.
I just have to say, before we go on, as a woman that has had many guy friends and I have wonderful ability to ask questions, I feel terribly about accidental boners. Like that would be...
It would be so horrible. It is the plague of teenage life. It's a thing that disappears, but as a teenager, it is the worst time of your life for it to happen, and it's the time when it happens the most.
And then I went into massage therapy, and there was an entire portion of our education where we were told like there are accidental erections that are going to happen because just being touched sometimes is a stimulant, and it doesn't mean that it's sexual. It's just a reaction. If there is attention given to the erection, then things are different. You know, like
yes, Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
If great the person that you're that. Working on is on their stomach and starts grinding on the table, that's a bad thing.
That's attention. Yeah, that's a bad sign. Red flag.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anyway, well, God, I can't this wait podcast. To see we have like fellow listener, please write us and tell us to just stop.
If you're not with us by this point, you never will be.
Good God.
Let's see.
Like 4 episodes ago, we introduced new people to our show. Welcome,
oh, we really
Lord
did.
Of the Rings listeners.
Yeah, and then it's the just intellectuals.
Like, we told you it was R-rated. Little did you know that we're like this.
Are you kidding? Lord of the Rings fantasy is the horniest fandom. Like, it is. It's all staffs, is what it is.
Who are you shipping in Lord of the Rings then?
Oh, Gandalf and Picard, just all the time.
That's not in Lord of the Rings.
It should be. Should be Gandalf and Aragorn. I always liked that. Except they have a history. With that, let's see how much of that comes up. In this week's episode, Keep It's Aaron Arrow. We'll see you in 10 forward for a full debriefing. Due to beam out. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab something from the replicate.
It's not 10 Forward anymore.
It's not going to make sense until the outtakes.
It doesn't matter. It's not 10 Forward anymore.
We've before we got into this segment, I just had to explain to Danae that all of the bars on starships aren't necessarily called 10 Forward.
This is so sad to me.
On the Enterprise, it's called 10 Forward because it's the forward section of Deck 10. But everywhere else, it may be in a different location.
I thought so it was like a cool forward. Thing.
It might be 8 forward. It might be 8 dorsal.
Like, you know how when you travel to a different city and you go to your favorite chain restaurant and you trust it?
Yeah.
That's just been shattered for me. Because it's not the 10 forward bar.
It is on the Enterprise.
Fuck you. It's not.
No,
it's
it
not. It's the bar.
Yeah, and they call the bar 10 forward.
No, they say, I'll meet you in 10 forward because that was the name of the place, and now it's not the name of the place anymore. I mean, it is for that show, but it's not.
Let's have a drink in 10 forward, the name of the bar, because of where it is. Nothing we can say about this episode will now change how shit Danae feels about
I'm really
that.
Sad.
So, every ship had a 10 forward? Is that what you...
Yeah, I thought that every ship, the place where they would go and hang out was just called 10 forward.
Yeah.
Like, it was sort of some secret cool code, but it's not. It's
I mean,
not
it
a secret
the Enterprise.
Cool code. No, it's not. No.
It's a code for where the bar is located.
It's the closet on deck 4 or some stupid shit. Now I know that there's not like a cool name for it. It doesn't even have a name. There's not even a name.
No, it does. It has a name. It's 10 forward.
It isn't. That's the location. It's not named 10 forward. It's nothing.
That room is named 10 forward on the Enterprise D, but everywhere else it's just the mess hall.
It's also named 10 forward on another ship that it's like a coat closet or something.
Yeah, they just don't name it that. They'll just name it the coat closet.
It's not special anymore. It was special and now it's not special.
Special
anyway,
is whatever we decide to call special.
More important, I mean, like, we have to get out of this. This is like a really deep hole. But like, the other problem that I'm having before we can do the show now is that, like, in my mind, no offense.
Oh, dear.
The Enterprise was like the shittiest vessel of all Star Trek. Like,
I mean, you know, in so many words.
We're one sneeze away from derpaprising ourselves.
Yeah, we look cool, but
we don't have 10 decks. There's no way. We have three.
No, we have 24.
How do we have 24 decks?
Because we're roughly the same size as the Enterprise E, and I think the E has 24 decks, or 26, depending on the movie.
No. We have 3 nacelles, but only 3 decks. We're a 3-3. We're a 3x3.
3 massive fucking decks. You know how high the ceilings would need to be for us to only have 3? Or how much empty space there would need to be between decks?
Doesn't matter. We can put up some storage bins. But listen, what I'm saying is that we're, I guess, our cool fucking bar is called 3 forward.
No, it's called 2 forward. It's 2 forward, which is perfect for a bar.
Anyway. Wasn't it called 10 forward when it was on Earth in one episode where they like visit some place and it was called 10 forward?
Yeah, as an homage
that
to
is now
the
bullshit.
No, because it's still
that should
the
be
name.
Called
it's
that should
both.
Be called like the exact address, 1412 West Elm Street. I'm so mad. I'm going through the stages of grief, and now I'm angry.
You're in angry. Acceptance is coming soon.
Yep.
Before we get to that, I don't think it's right to let you near Replicator right now. So just give us a synopsis for the episode. The Cupid's errant arrow.
We saw a penis. That's it.
We didn't.
Okay. We imagined one. It's up to you because technically it was just a bar. It was a black
just a,
bar.
Just
Speaking
a black
of bars,
bar.
10 forwards a lie.
Okay. Well, the ambassador is grieving genuinely. I will give us a synopsis. Boimler has a girlfriend. Mariner doesn't believe it. Conspiracies happen. A moon is argued over. References are made. Hilarity ensues. Tendi and Rutherford are nearly transferred after competing over a new bit of technology. And a worm has attached itself to Boimler's head and has been there for apparently months, despite being transported to multiple places and not noticed by anybody, including him. And in the end, the lady breaks up with him for the weirdest reason possible. And how did you feel about the episode this week, Ambassador? Did you like it?
It was okay.
I loved it.
You did?
I love this episode.
Why?
It's so fun. There are so many references in this episode, and it's frantic and it's manic, and I really like it. There's certain things I don't like, relationship stuff, but I have a lot of fun with this episode.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was heavy on the relationship, but I think it redeems itself with a twist at the end that it's actually Boimler who has been wormed all along.
What did you like about the episode, Ambassador? Or what is giving you the mid feelings?
Yeah, I don't think this is my favorite episode so far. Like, this might be in the two Pippa range for me because it was like a self-destruct episode where you've got Mariner that's trying to sabotage and then that's sabotaging this relationship by trying to save Boimler. You have Boimler who self-sabotages by trying to become somebody that he's not. And it was just like, it was very all over the place. And I just checked out way more than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, the B plot, I think is definitely one that's for the Star Trek fan. You know,
yes.
Where they're doing a lot of the Star Trek tropey thing where you're going to destroy one thing to save another and all of that. So the twist at the end was funny, though. I did enjoy when, especially the cursing, like, what the fuck? You know, like all this.
There are two fucking people on your whole fucking planet. Blow it up.
Yeah, just instantly, like, get that thing blown up. And the person is lamenting that they just redid their floors. And he even says, like, but we're rich.
Yeah, right? It's amazing.
So I think the twist at the end really saved this episode for me because it was leaning on so many familiar tropes that I was pretty absent. I was typing a lot of, like, what was happening, but nothing was really capturing my attention. Even the idea that Rutherford and Tendi are kind of, like, fighting to get this cool new gear and the lieutenant was trying to get himself transferred at the end, you know, that even wasn't just genuinely capturing me. So yeah, I liked it. I don't think I laughed in this one. I was more like, we were joking around about what we would see this episode since we were talking about vaginas last episode, you know?
Yep.
And so the couple penis references, that was more like, hey, there it is.
Hey,
you know?
There's a penis. There's Bradwood.
Without that being part of it, I don't know what would have kept me like really attentive on this one.
It's really interesting. It's why I love doing this with you because it kind of gives me a barometer for my own Trek nerdiness and how I would not make a good reviewer of these shows because I didn't realize until I watched it this time with a critical eye, I didn't realize how much I love this episode mainly because of how TNG it is. Like there is like that, the moon plot. It's one of my favorite B plots because it could be an entire episode that the crew like of the Enterprise D are trying to solve. And like, I love the beginning when they're talking about we're here to, like, it's a very serious, like, log entry from Boimler. We're here to deliberately, like, demolish this moon. And all of the aliens in the room perfectly sum up every single objection that you could have to destroying a moon. One of them mentions it's like religiously important. Someone else says it's just a government conspiracy. Someone says the scientific reason for why the moon has to stay and why it has to go.
The agricultural impact,
the tides. Mm-hmm. And then someone else says my family lived there. So you've got emotion, science, religion, conspiracy, all of those possible reasons that have been brought up in every Star Trek episode about why this simple decision to destroy a moon that will threaten the planet is actually really, really complicated. So that, like, B plot is one of the rare B plots that really sucks me in. And it's because I'm such a freaking TNG nerd and I love that stuff. Like, that's, I love that. Here's a problem that's going to happen in the future. How do we fix it?
Yeah. It starts off in that part of the plot, you're looking out and you see this destructive, it almost looked like there was a magma center to it.
Yeah, it was like imploding.
It looked more than just this boring rock moon. It looked very volatile. Anyway, and they're like, yeah, we just gotta take care of this or it's gonna kill everybody. It's gonna be just a normal Tuesday. And then glance over to the conference room and every single person in the conference room has a reason that they can't destroy it. And you can kind of feel like the, oh, and thankfully the episode wasn't super heavy in those conversations. We just kind of we drop in, we hear the conversations, we drop out. This episode more centers on, I think, like more of why Boimler and Mariner are friends. Like she even says he's my nerd in this episode.
Yeah.
And she's incredibly protective. We get to see a little bit of a backstory as to why she is so protective in this way. And the confusion of all of us as to why this woman is attracted is kind of solved in this unique way. So that's where the episode spends most of its time, which is true to Lower Decks. We're not spending a lot of time with the A-team.
And Freeman acts how I would like to think that I would be Picard in this situation, but I would be much more Freeman. Like, she just gets so moody with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, why am I having these dumbass arguments? Fine, we'll give you some moon to worship. My favorite line in the whole thing is, we're going to relocate you all to the sixth moon because that's going to become the fifth moon anyway, technically,
yes.
Because we're going to blow up the fifth moon. So, and it's just, that's genius. And the alien's just like, oh yeah, I guess we will still live on the fifth moon. That's so great.
The solutions when we cut back and she's like, okay, so this is what we're doing. They all seem to make a lot of sense. They all clear the room and then the one remaining rich guy is like, but you're going to kill everybody on my moon if you do this. And then she's like, well, fuck. You know,
Oh, fuck.
We got to solve this problem.
I will say, I agree with you. The frustrating bit for me, and this just, no matter how you do it, I'm not going to enjoy this. It's the relationship, jealousy, competitive, sitcom-y thing that it feels very like kind of 90s and early noughts. And just relationship jealousy, yes, it's real. But it's really annoying to see it portrayed on. I'm just like, skip. Like, there's a reason we skip a lot because no matter how you execute the bones of it, is really frustrating. But it is. This is true to how I feel Boimler would act in this situation. He would make an ass out of himself. He would be insecure, and Mariner is playing into those insecurities by being like so incredulous that a woman like Barbara would be with Boimler. The most logical explanation is that she's an alien or that it's a trick, not because she likes Boimler. And she's so convinced of this that she takes it all the way to the extreme. So that's the humor that I pull from it. And I just kind of eye roll at anything that Boimler does throughout the episode.
Yeah, Boimler was a little bit much for me.
Yeah.
Mariner going over the top, I think, is more believable. Whether it's because she might be self-imploding and self-sabotaging and ruining something because she's bored or because she's genuinely caring in her own weird way. And in this episode, it is that she's caring in her own weird way. And the backstory is that she did have a friend that was in love with somebody who had a great relationship who turned into some sort of like wacky creature that killed her in front of her eyes. And that's pretty intense. I do have a question about that scene. Yeah.
Yes.
So in that scene, they're talking about Data's brother joining the Borg, and it seems like it's like in history somewhere. So is this a concurrent timeline where that would be news, or is it like they're just talking about the past? I guess.
Yeah. So Lower Decks happens, I think, someone's going to come at me, but I think it's like 2380-ish is when this happens. It kind of continues after when the final TNG movie happens. I think it takes place around about that time or just afterwards. So that would be, let me get this right. That would be like 5 years after Descent, which is the episode of TNG that they're referring to where Lore goes with the Borg. So if this is a flashback, yeah, it's a flashback to season 7 of TNG when Mariner was on a different ship wearing those uniforms, or it would have happened like a few months earlier or something like that. But yes, yeah, so that is happening concurrently. This is very close to the TNG era, which is why it's like a lot of the tech looks familiar, the Elcars, like all of the data systems, the computer screens all look very similar. The phasers and tricorders look similar.
Okay. Yeah. So that flashback kind of gives us that confidence that, you know, Mariner is going over the top because she cares for Boimler. And like you said, she has arrived at the conclusion that something is very off, and she's not wrong. But the place where it goes that I think I didn't expect and I appreciated, which is what saves this episode for me, is that Barbara was doing the exact same to her.
Yes.
And that fight sequence at the end about how they're both really concerned about each other and their
what
care
are you
of
doing
Boimler.
Being friends with Boimler, like, is the same question that Barbara has. Like, they're both aware of who he is.
Yes. And that was really unexpected, because, you know, you kind of I sort of expected that maybe she was gonna be something and that they were gonna remove this character, because I don't remember her showing up at any other time in the future, but it doesn't go that way. And instead we just got to see what life was like on this, you know, high class ship where they're doing some pretty crazy stuff and working hard, and we got to kind of see a little bit of jealousy from our team, both with their crew and the relationships that are on that crew and their technology, but an ultimate decision that where they are is where they want to be.
The Tendi and Rutherford C plot ends up in a weird place with like the guy wanting to transfer off of the Vancouver and that being the final nail in the coffin that they want to stay on the Cerritos. But I do love them as a vessel for nerdery. At the beginning, like, they are the hardcore Trek-specific, like, technology nerds, because they're geeking out over how cool the Vancouver looks, which is my, like, first instinct as well. Like, I love the Cerritos. It's adorable. And even though the Vancouver is very similar, it's still a saucer section with two nacelles on it, it does look cooler. And that's such, like, whoever designed that ship knows why it looks cooler in like a Trek mind than the Cerritos. It's got the nacelles that look more like the Enterprise E cells, so they're more like kind of angular. It has like the cool on the saucer section, it has like a more angular, like shaded part. It's slightly sleeker. Like the nacelles are kind of just angled a little bit differently. So there's so many subtle design things where I'm like, yeah, the Vancouver does look cooler than the Cerritos, and
it
here's
looks
why.
Like a sled.
But it's so fucking cool.
Which I can relate to being on a sled more than I can relate to being on a starship. Maybe that's why we think it's cool. It's because we've been on a sled in the snow.
Maybe that's it.
But I assume you've been on a sled in the snow.
Oh, I absolutely have. Yeah, at least once.
But yeah, Tendi and Rutherford are the geeks because they're like double mesh, you know, or all these different things that they're just
the new scanner. Like,
but they're also thieves now.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing Tendi's backstory, I can believe it. Rutherford, yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I guess it's all belongs to Starfleet, so I guess it's okay, is how you could maybe rationalize it. I've pinched things when I visited other stores, because I'm like, why are you stockpiling this thing that I'm not allowed to order? I'm going to take that back to my shop because I need it. I've absolutely done that, and I'm quite a goody two-shoes.
I like how you're confident to admit that you're
I'm not even going to tell you which retailer that was of the five that I've worked for.
Chad's pointing out that there is a Rutherford backstory that helps us to make it makes it more believable as well. And I just don't remember
correct.
That. Correct. So yeah, well, that'll be something to discover later, I suppose.
Yeah, that might be in season 2 and then revisited in 3. I think it's in 3, but it was a while ago since we've done that.
And also pointed out in the chat was that Rutherford blackmailed the lieutenant in that episode with the recorded thing for this tricorder. So that's true. He does have some sketch going on.
He sure does. Quickly back before we move on way past it, the flashback to Mariner on the other ship. I can't remember the name of the ship, but it was an Olympic class ship. This was the first time that the show kind of acknowledged that the uniforms, like, in my brain it was silly, but the uniforms still exist, like the ones with the purple pads and like the black from Deep Space Nine and the TNG movies. I was like, oh, I know those uniforms, and I think this is the first time we've seen them animated, so it was really fun to see that era of Star Trek animated as well. And you've got Mariner's kind of like Deanna style hair that I really loved, as if that's like this was the fashion in the 2375s, because like Deanna had that hair, Mariner has that hair as well. So yeah, I it was a really smart little flashback. I enjoyed that. The other things I love about this episode is just it's a massive reference fest. So I totally get why it can be a little bit.
It really was.
A little bit so inaccessible. Much. All of Mariner's conspiracies, she lists like the Delphines, the Suliban, an undercover Cardassian that's been genetically altered is another plot. Transporter doubles is another plot. There's a salt monster that's on her conspiracy board as well.
I saw that one.
Even the little worm that attaches itself to Boimler is very much like the Wrath of Khan worms that control you. Like, I don't think there's anything in this episode that isn't like a reference to something else. Boimler describes the hunky ex-boyfriend as a Kirk Sunday with trip sprinkles. Like, you got two references in one there. But I love it because in my brain, it activates, of course, it activates this deep part of my brain so, so much. But yeah, I kind of love that certain episodes are unapologetically screaming at the fans as well, which, yeah, can have the consequence of being inaccessible. But it's a lot of fun if you get the
joke.
Yeah,
it's like going to a Thai restaurant. They're like, what do you mean no spice? This is Thai food.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have some spicy food here. If you don't like it, go someplace else.
We mentioned it earlier, but the scene where Mariner just barges in on Boimler and he's naked. Did that get like a genuine chuckle out of you? Because it was the first time I think we'd seen complete nudity in Star Trek, minus a deliberate black bar censor, which is, again, it reminds you that you're in a cartoon and watching a TV show because somebody has animated a black bar to go there, which is a very non-Star Trek thing to do.
I didn't see that and think, oh, I didn't expect that. I like that he had meat on his bones.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Like, it seemed like he's had some burgers, you know, like it wasn't just the super scrawny, belly. He had some shape, and I really liked that. I thought it was kind of funny that he immediately gets knocked out, but he's just kind of gently covered. and he misses all of the fun. I don't think that was, for me, I wasn't really focusing on that as much as I'm like, where is this episode going to land? Because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm beyond ready for this episode to land. And then it gets to the part where he has the parasite. Yeah. And then it transitions pretty quickly from him being like, you know, do you want to go on a date with me? To like the worm saying it. And I really.
date me.
date me. And I enjoyed that. I mean, it's sinful as heck because I just do not believe that it's possible unless he has not touched his head.
Oh, it's insane. And that's so wild.
It's difficult for me to, like, this one maybe more than any so far is so firmly planted in the animation category more than it is realistic.
For a lot of reasons, yeah.
But I don't think the significance of the nudity was something that, like, pinged for me.
Yeah, I think it for the first time it pushed Lower Decks for me firmly into like the adult category, which it obviously is. There's swearing, there's blood and gore, but like this is like really brave Star Trek, because TNG is obviously very stuffy. We love it, but it clearly has like a set of rules that it's sticking to. DS9 bends them a little bit. Voyager doesn't really at all. So to have a show in the TNG area that's this outrageous, like by episode 5, I'm just like, oh, Lower Decks is like doing the references, but pushing into an adult, like 2020s as well, like a really kind of more modern, less kind of stuffy approach to Star Trek as well, which I just kind of thought made it a little bit more accessible considering the reference fest.
I did like the idea that Mariner is so determined and she gets out there, she flies through space, she kicks into the space, and she just happens to like go into the room right before the bounty go out. And I don't even remember what Boimler said as he turned around, but it was I wish I did, because
I think he's just like, stop looking at me, don't look.
No, he turns around with some kind of comment like,
oh,
like to come on to Barbara. He had like a come on line.
He did.
And it was, and I remember trying to go, what was that? What did, what did you just say? Because it would have probably been something.
Oh, super nerdy. Super nerdy.
So he spins around in this chair and stands up, and then there's just this like reaction. And that was really, you know, fun for me. I'm also thankful, again, going to reference the live chat, because there's comments happening that is like, if the worm didn't want to be found and it was controlling Boimler, then it wouldn't have let him touch his hair, which totally makes sense now that I think about it that way.
I don't know that it's controlling Boimler.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's just releasing. It's releasing attractive pheromones.
But it's controlling his speech.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's saying the same thing that the worm is saying. Oh, I'm maybe. Confused about what the worm's like.
How much control does it have?
Right. What is? Because is the worm able to? Is that it? Just wants Boimler to be the host, and so they're gonna. That's just the relationship they have. Or does it have like an agenda to?
It's just
take
to reproduce
over a starship, and
like no, the, is it? It was literally just, this is how it reproduces. Was that it makes the host attractive so that it can have babies. And then it kind of slips its own babies in there, I think.
Gross!
Yeah. Oh, super gross. But I think the speech thing is weird. Yeah. Because that's the only time we really see it control him.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of confused about what the point of that would be.
Punchline.
Because in the right, exactly. It's very much, that's again, it. That animated like punchline. This is a meaningless moment because it's over now and the gig is up and the show is just going
to
move on.
This is a fun way to end the episode.
What is this species' end goal? Is it just to take over a body host and then just survive? Or is it what most viruses do, which is try to duplicate themselves somehow? So I thought that it was going to be more of a, like, steal the shuttle and run off with technology or something like that.
No, I think it's just to reproduce.
I don't know.
Well, since we've technically started, shall we officially head over to engineering and do some sinning?
Sure. We have an engineering, right? That's not going to change.
I mean, it's just called engineering. I wouldn't go giving it a specific name. Like, middle ship.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
Red alarm. This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sim brains, remind ourselves that no TV shows have outseen even our beloved Star Trek. Ambassador, give us a sin.
Boimler leaves his presents to Barbara on the ground, and maybe it's because he's a parasite. I don't know. Yeah. But he had an adorable bear that was all forged up, and then she shows up, and he just forgets that he has flowers and this adorable bear, and he drops them on the floor so that he can give her a hug, and then they walk out. And that bear, to my knowledge, is still sitting there.
I think, doesn't he? Yeah, he picks it up later in the episode when he thinks that Barbara and her ex-boyfriend are doinking in the shuttle. But I think he drops them again.
I didn't see that part. Probably because I was bored.
But yeah.
And doing something else.
It's fair. I think he dropped. But that telly, we didn't mention how adorable the visor teddy bear is. So cute.
How dare you drop it in the first place?
How dare you give it away? Buy that and keep it for yourself. Goodness. We did mention how the zapping the moon because of the two rich people, like, that has their house on it, how that's completely, like, it's the right thing to do, objectively. However, is it? Because I wondered if it was kind of a reference to Insurrection. Because in Insurrection, one of the big, plot points is that they want to the evil Starfleet Admiral wants to evacuate this planet because they can use the planet to save millions and millions of lives, and it only means relocating a few hundred Baku, the aliens that live there. And Picard's big speech is, I don't care if it's a few hundred, a million, a thousand, or a dozen. At what point do you draw the line where it's wrong? So if you take it down to just two people, Picard would argue that's still wrong. You still shouldn't, whether it's two people or 2 million, you shouldn't forcibly relocate anybody unless you can really justify it and unless you can get them to agree. So I like that as a thought experiment. Is she actually breaking the prime directive there by just saying, yeah, fuck it, blow the moon up. I don't care if it's just two people living there, blow it up.
Yeah, I don't know. She did it, though.
She sure did. No further.
Tendi slapped a lieutenant.
Yes.
She slapped somebody.
Sure fucking did.
Just to check to make sure that it was a dream. It was actually really fucking hilarious. I didn't laugh, but that was pretty funny. I didn't expect her to slap him to make sure that he was real. But she still got away with that. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe he was putting up with it because technically he was wanting to transfer himself.
That's true. Yeah.
But here's the sin. So why not let him transfer? It wasn't like, was it that there was going to be a trade? Like, two of them for one of him?
It's insane.
Is that what we were supposed to?
I know we were talking about the parasite a lot, but this is the C plot that I really don't understand. I don't know what his plan was. He was saying that he was going to trade them two for him, and somehow that means the transfer will go unnoticed. I don't understand that logic, because his post is still going to be unattended. Is he filling two slots on the Cerritos? Like, why are they filling?
I didn't understand that part.
Why are them two filling his one position?
But the show did say that he was going to replace two of them. That's why they were so adamant about stopping it. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. That's what I heard.
I think I kind of missed part of that, probably because I stopped paying attention.
Yeah. It's really confusing what his plan is and why he doesn't just ask for a transfer as well. Just like, the stress is too much. He's not asking for a promotion. He's essentially asking for a demotion. Like, move me to an easier ship. Like, this is really fucking hard. I don't want to do this anymore. So yeah, that was a big part that I couldn't get my head around. I would have given a sin removal for the fact that Mariner asks for an emergency transport, appears to make up a code, and I was like, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. And then the guy's just like, get off this line. Did you just make up a code? No, I'm not gonna emergency beam you somewhere, quit it. But then I would immediately follow that up with, okay, emergency transport isn't allowed, but she can just go on a spacewalk on her own with no code. She just leaves the ship, accesses another ship from the outside. Like, that seems way more dangerous than allowing an emergency beam out.
I guess so.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, there's a lot of this episode that's confusing when you think about, like, I know for dramatic effect that Mariner is going to try to figure out what kind of a creature she is. But if a bio scan to find out if she's human or not was that quick, that would be stop number one.
Instead of doing,
we don't need to be cutting off hair.
Instead of doing the high-pitched scream that she does through the tricorder during that briefing, just walk behind her and scan her. Like, I don't know. And if the tricorder picks up the parasite in Boimler that quickly, and it was months ago, or like a month ago, how did the biofilters not find it? How did any of the scanners not find it? Like, this easily detectable parasite should have been easily detected. Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too, I'm afraid. Not on this show. I did have another follow-up that, and this is going to hurt me, but I'm sinning the references, because references are great when they work, but at least, and they make sense, like, internally, but at least two of the creatures that she mentioned, it wouldn't have been a bad idea if they had loved Boimler. So the Delphine is just a person, it's just a shapeshifter, I think I'm right. And so that wouldn't be like, I think one of them falls in love with Wesley, so it wouldn't be, like, the worst thing in the world. And the other one was a transporter clone. What's wrong with a transporter clone falling in love with Boimler? There's no, like, conspiracy there, or it's just a double. It's just a twin. It's not inherently evil, just because Riker's one ended up being a bit mischievous.
I like it. Oh, I remember what I was going to get out of the duplicator.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
The replicator at the top of the show.
It is.
I just found it in my notes. I would like to replicate twice as that. I want to be thatter.
That's what you want.
So fucking stupid.
I want to be thatter. I can be twice as that.
Amazing. Twice as that. Oh my God. Can you imagine though, like being able to just tell the replicator, I want to be fashionable.
Really vague. Yeah. As vague as possible and see what it comes up with.
I kind of love that idea.
Yeah. Computer would be like, we need more parameters, please.
I want to be thatter. And then you just see what the computer thinks thatter is.
It's like asking an AI what it thinks. This picture's great, but it needs to be thatter.
It needs to be thatter. There's something not quite right about it. It's not quite thatter.
That's amazing. I did have a little internal giggle. Actually, no, it was an outward giggle when they said, oh, and did you hear how amazing the door whooshes were? Whoosh.
Whoosh. You loved that part.
I love that so much. Whoosh.
I don't think I have anything else noted in mine.
Lovely. Well, a mixed bag, and I think you pipped it 2 pips.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly acceptable. I think as a like someone not as versed in Star Trek, I think it's a 2-pipper. I think if you're knee deep in Star Trek and TNG, I think I can see it being a 3-pipper, and I'm gonna give it 3 pips because I love the references. This is the most I've probably laughed at an episode other than like episode 2, I think. I really, really like this episode, but I get it. I get that it's a tricky one to access. And at the end of the show here, I will apologize that we haven't covered Past Tense, which is an episode of Deep Space Nine that takes place on August 30th, 2024, which happens to be the day that we are recording. I will never live that down. It will always be a fixed point in time and space that in the 2300s, maybe somebody will come back and fix. And we will actually do that. I apologize, everyone, for not covering the Bell Riots. Next week, we actually already covered next week's episode, which is season 1, episode 6, Terminal Provocations. This is the episode that introduces Badgie, the comm badge, the holodeck program.
Did we do this one in our Bad Guys series, or was that just... Or did we watch it
point.
To prepare for something? Because Badgie would be a really interesting one to add into any kind of episode where you're wanting to introduce a bad guy.
Yeah, it's because Badgie was in the season 3 post-credits scene. He's floating right. through space. So we did it ahead mm-hmm. of season 4 to kind of have a bit of a catch-up. This also has that random other lower decker that Mariner and Boimler get into trouble and they end up like taking under their wing, and he has like the really curly hair, and we thought it was the same guy
that ascended. Yeah,
but it's not. So that's his appearance in this episode as well. He ends up getting promoted immediately and going off to another ship. And for anyone who wants to listen to that episode again and keep all their lower decks in a row, we will be re-uploading that episode on Saturday the 7th of September into the podcast feed. That way you can listen to our coverage of episode 6 before we cover episode 7, if you so wish. And yeah, thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for enduring our chaos and our mayhem. If you want to reach out and talk to us, we have a lovely Discord channel for Captain's Pod listeners on the Cinema Sins Discord, discord.gg/cinemasins. And hey, send us an email, captainspod@cinemasins.com. You guys are the best. I'm Captain Ian, and for me, this is a starship, not heaven.
And for me, I definitely can smell some toasty marshmallows.
Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Why can't I hear you? Fuck. Okay, dokie. This top microphone. Check, check, check. I can hear you there. Okay, on my check on my end, I can hear myself. The StreamYard hears me and everything, but I cannot hear you. So is my computer doing the thing again? Like, I could hear something. I will test YouTube. I can hear YouTube. I can hear a beeping sound.
Hello?
I can hear you.
I'm so sorry.
What happened?
I had my mic muted. I didn't know. I'm so sorry. That was not me fucking with you.
Have you ever fucked with me like that though, for real?
No.
Okay.
Not without it coming out like almost immediately that I'm fucking with you.
I believe you.
My bad. I was listening to like shit on my phone and muted my mic so that it's less noise to deal with. And then I didn't unmute it. And there we go. Now I'm not even talking into the mic. I was talking off the mic, just like into the room, so nothing can hear me, which is great. I'm going to eat this close enough to the mic that I get ketchup on it.
I'm going to eat this chewy granola bar from Kodiak. It's a s'mores bar.
Yum. Yum. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
This breakfast burrito has been frozen and then reheated, but I made it so long ago, I can't remember what's in it. But it tastes great.
I like how we got together for the show today and it's just a mukbang. Like, we're just fucking eating.
Yeah, just feel like we're not going to make any outtakes this week. It's just...
just the sounds of us eating food. Okay, yeah, let me tell you more about my granola bar. In addition to being a s'mores bar, it tastes like a s'mores bar. Very marshmallowy, a little bit of chocolate, but mostly it's like a Rice Krispie treat, but looser. Like, it's not as compact. So like when you bite into it, all the individual crispy pieces kind of separate.
Yeah.
And it has 7 grams of protein in it. From pea powder.
I say, is there like bacon in that thing? That's a lot of protein.
No,
put chicken in your granola bar?
Pea powder.
That was amazing. What the pea of what animal?
A buffalo.
Oh, I guess that would have a lot of protein.
Yeah, and iron too.
High concentration of protein in that pea. Yeah.
They're like the most intense kind of like...
yeah, they're all muscle. I was going to guess like kangaroo, but you know, like the really muscly kangaroos that are just like rippling. Like, their pee must be pure protein.
Real quick question. It isn't 10 forward on the Cerritos, is it?
It's always 10 forward on the Cerritos somewhere.
Wait, what do you mean?
I think that it, like, I think it. So what I would say is that every ship, if it has 10 decks or more, which most ships have more than 10 decks.
Oh, Jesus.
Have a deck 10 with a forward section. So even if we aren't doing this in the bar, we may just be doing it on a random deck 10 forward section. So we may just be doing this in a corridor.
Okay, but I, until now, thought that they were all called 10 forward. Like, that was the name of the bar.
No, it's because it's deck 10 forward section, because it's at the front of the ship.
That makes me sad. I thought that it was a, like that was like the name of the bar.
Well, it is, but it's cool. That's the name of the bar because of where it is. Deck 10 forward section, 10 forward.
I feel like there's just been this like knowledge that everybody knows, and now I don't know it. But I now my happy 10 forward life is ruined. Thanks, chat. So if I go onto a spaceship, starship, and I say, take me to 10 forward, it's going to take me to the 10th floor, the forward part of it. No
100%.
Matter what's there, it won't take me to the bar.
100%. Yeah, it won't. It won't necessarily, unless you're on a galaxy class starship, then yes, it
sounds
will take
really
you
sad.
There.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is bullshit.
We've just shattered
Danae's
vision of the future.
Honestly, that makes me really sad.
Yeah, they're not all called 10 forward.
This is such bullshit. I hate Star Trek. Let's go. I'll start the music up. Let's do some music, I guess. No, that's not the right music. I'm going to push this button here. I guess I'll just fucking push
this
stupid goddamn... this just in. Sad news, everybody. Your favorite bar isn't actually called 10 Forward. Did you want to visit a 10 Forward? Fuck that. Apparently, it's just a goddamn bar on the 10th floor in the forward part of it. And it could just be a storage area for some other place. This has been your news.
Captain's Pod, Stardate 16-8304.1. Welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave. Go on.
I pushed a button. I'm sorry.
Bring
but then
it
I
to
remembered
the
that you
the
could
class.
Take it out of the edit.
Yeah.
I forgot that it's separate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I didn't even hear it either, so whatever you pressed
cool.
didn't work.
Cool. Right on. Yep.
Well, the cinema seems to explore the universe of Star Trek. No, I'm not doing a fresh take. We can live with it. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always,
I'm not doing a fresh take. I forgot to actually do the intro once again.
Wait, but I changed it. Oh, but I didn't change all of it. Okay, I've got both of the intro. Okay, fuck. She's back from emptying the fluid. No, I have to do it fresh. That's so annoying.
Did you just crack yourself up?
No, I just I put some extra L's in, right? The fluid filters. Okay. there was one more nod that I wanted to point out that I forgot about in the main show. And it's the Mariner is running through the corridor and says something like, "Get out the way, Jennifer," and pushes down an Andorian.
Right?
And it's her girlfriend. It's her Andorian girlfriend from later. I love it. I think this is the first time she pops up. I love that. The outtakes last week, by the way, were particularly unhinged.
What was it? Was the nudity? Was it the sex thing?
No, that was in the show. That wasn't even the outtake. That was top of the show, Danae.
You made that the top of the show?
Yeah, I didn't make it. You put it in my intro.
Oh, no.
And I transition out of it so hard, it sounds like I'm uncomfortable, even though I'm not. It's just like, okay, we'll go to 10 forward now. I guess we're going to watch the episode. And because we have like this half an hour gap between the intro and 10 forward, we don't reference it again. It's like
it never happened.
Well, it sounds like I've cut, had a conversation with you, and we've agreed to not talk about it anymore because it's immediately into 10 forward and okay, here's the episode.
Over on this end of the world, the cat has nuzzled his nose with the dog.
Oh,
this
which
seems
one?
Like big news. Twicky.
Twicky. But Twicky's the one that's been kind of more belligerent with the cat as well.
Mm, yeah, there was
I bet he knows.
There was a really interesting moment. The cat walked across the room, had to go between the two dogs, which could have been sketchy, but wasn't. So that was great. Gets to the door. Pops his tail kind of in the air like, yeah, I know you want to smell my ass. By the way, this is an R-rated show.
Was that R-rated?
I'm just, as I'm using ass instead of butt, yeah. You know, I'm just.
That's fair.
Re-engaging my sinful brain here for you guys.
Yeah.
Nothing sinful is about to happen, though. Just adorableness. So he turns and he looks and there's little, he's not in here right now. There's a little Twicky. And he goes, the cat says, like a little question mark, and then reaches forward with his little his head and puts nose against. I know.
May I please touch your nose with my nose?
I was really impressed.
I did want to address this. Wandering Winder says this episode is being recorded on August 30th, 2024, and we're not covering past tense. Correct. That's a Deep Space Nine episode, which covers, I believe, this is the one that covers the Bell Riots.
Oh, and it is takes that today? Place
That's today. It takes place in 2024, August 30th.
How so, yes, are we not this would have been. What the fuck?
Because how am I going to break up Lower Decks with a random a two part episode, mind you, of Deep Space Nine?
Right.
I mean, but yes, in hindsight, it would have been perfect. And
what
I apologize.
Do you mean it would have been more than perfect? When will this day ever come again? It's not like we can.
Well,
like,
quite. It's not ever going to come again, is it? We'll do it next week and just be more informed.
How?
You see, we couldn't do it today because we don't know that the riots aren't going to happen. We still have a lot of today left.
Oh, and happy Bell's Riots Day.
Shut up.
Happy Bell Riot Day, everyone. Bell Riot Day today.
Should we have done it? Should we have done past tense? It's a pretty depressing episode. It's pretty depressing.
Absolutely. We should have.
It's pretty miserable.
Well, then we should have recorded it ahead of time and done a special release.
Yeah, okay.
Don't ask me if you don't want to know my answer.
Also, I think every podcast will be doing it, and we want to be the ones that stand out and cover an episode of Lower Decks from 2020 instead.
And there's your answer, everyone.
That's what we're doing.
Bowling Green State University is ranked the number one university in Ohio for student experience by the Wall Street Journal. Student research, Division I athletics, arts events, club sports, education abroad around the world. BGSU is about so much more than earning a degree. Make friends, discover your talents, learn new skills, and live the stories you'll tell for the rest of your life. Experience BGSU. You don't want to miss this. Visit bgsu.edu/experience. Bowling Green State University is ranked the number one university in Ohio for student experience by the Wall Street Journal. Student research, education abroad, arts events, club sports, Division I athletics. You don't want to miss this. Visit bgsu.edu/experience.